Welcome to the Messy Mind Podcast, a show to support you in seeing entrepreneurship isn't always a straight line to get to your light bulb moments. I'm your host, Tammy L. Davis. There are so many articles, white papers, videos guiding you on the pitfalls of why your training efforts will go wrong. Wouldn't it be refreshing to hear guidance on how it will go right? Yes, you have come to the right place. In this episode, I'm going to list all the reasons your training efforts will go right. Right reason number one, you have taken the time to develop a training strategy. Far too many times, people have jumped right into developing and executing a training plan, but not you. This time, you have taken the time to understand the difference between a strategy and a plan. How I differentiate a strategy versus a plan is a strategy is looking at the 30,000 foot view, whereas the plan is executing how I'm going to look at that view. All the activities I need to take in order to see that view or get to that view. A strategy is high level, whereas a plan is you are in the forest. Right reason number two, you have performed a complete training assessment, which basically means who needs to be trained on what. The purpose of a training needs assessment is to identify performance requirements and the knowledge, skills, and abilities needed by the workforce to achieve the requirements. An effective training needs assessment will support in directing resources to areas of greatest demand. In addition, a training needs assessment is the process of identifying the gap between performance required and current performance. It really does explore the methods of closing and eliminating those gaps. And of course, the results of the training needs assessment will allow the training staff or those who are responsible for performing, creating, conducting, facilitating the training to set the training objectives by answering two very basic questions. Who needs training and what needs to be learned? Right reason number three, your curriculum will be role and scenario based. Focus on the why as opposed to the how. You also have included non-happy path or exception training. You know the type of training I'm referring to, the training that requires you to troubleshoot an issue. A learning path for each role will be developed as a combination of training classes or sessions that will make up the course curriculum / learning path. In addition, the training program will communicate integration touch points within the modules or the system and how the overall business tasks are carried out within the application. The training content will be based on new roles and will focus on number one, changes to your organization. Number two, new business processes. Number three, new technology. As I stated before, your training will include non-happy path or troubleshooting training on how to properly resolve a common error message. Again, non-happy path training. Right reason number four, training materials will be developed against a style guide standards. Standardized processes in your curriculum development will be used to create a consistent look and feel, and the standards will be followed to ensure, again, consistency throughout all of your course materials. Right reason number five, a variety of training delivery methods will be used. Gone are the days to me of training that occurs in front of a classroom with individuals sitting behind a desktop looking forward at the instructor. No, today we get to use a blended, you get to use and will use a blended learning approach with various training methods such as instructor-led, web-based learning, hands-on labs, gamification, just those type of methods that foster engagement. And you'll be able to create a training program for end users by using these variety of delivery methods, which will increase knowledge retention, allow a training to be deployed in a timely fashion, decrease training time, and decrease the time in which your employee is away from their job. Right reason number 6, and this is actually my favorite. It's really diving into Kilpatrick's level of evaluation. Level 1 and level 2 evaluations will be utilized. Learning is best measured through the building of capabilities and how to use the system as a tool to support the business processes at hand. As a result, your training program should be measured using, and I'm going to say this again, using Kilpatrick's. I know I probably said Kilpatrick's, but using Kilpatrick's. As a result, your training program should be measured using Kilpatrick's levels of evaluation. The primary objective in using Kilpatrick within your training program is to determine whether the training objectives were met and demonstrate the business of the training program. There's multiple levels within this evaluation model. However, I spoke about how you're going to use level 1 and level 2. Level 1 is reaction, and it's based on how did the participants react to the training. This feedback is typically captured on an evaluation form or survey that occurs at the end of the training. And level 2 is based on learning that has resulted in a skill, knowledge increase, or attitude. Assessments and knowledge checks can be created within the appropriate training topics. Learners will have the ability to focus on what they have learned throughout the training sessions by completing the knowledge checks, and each knowledge check will provide feedback as to how the learner is progressing through the topic. And the last reason, right reason number 7, is your training infrastructure moves beyond focusing on the training environment. It includes support, it includes resources, and of course, facilities. Based on your initial training needs assessment, based on your initial infrastructure and resource requirements, these should be identified. Some of the questions you want to ask yourself: who will serve as your training support? If there's an issue with the training environment, who will troubleshoot? If it is a business process related question that is raised during the actual training, what subject matter experts will be in the training? Who will be available to answer those questions? Where will the training event be held? In what location? The facility? If your training is going to be remote, what platform are you going to use? How many instructors are you going to have in the virtual remote training session? Because it should be more than just the person who's your lead facilitator. We all know that if your training is going to be live, and I know a lot of us are moving back into the office, or at least starting to offer training in person, you definitely want to make sure that when you're assessing the facilities, that you're looking at flexibility of handling those sessions, technological connectivity, your indoor environment quality, signage, people, they need to know where to go get training, security and occupant safety, and of course, operations and maintenance. Facilities should be based on a number of factors. I've named a few, but those are some ones that you want to keep in mind. My hope is when you start to embark on your training efforts and you really think about how you want your training to look, to think about the 7 reasons I listed, and they support you in making sure that your training will go right. Thank you for joining us this time on the Messy Mind Podcast. Please visit our website at themessymindpod.com. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this episode, we'd appreciate a rating on Apple Podcast, or simply tell a friend about the show. Always remember to embrace the messiness of entrepreneurship. It can lead to your light bulb moments.